start this sucker. Which one here?
It's From the Bunker with Jody Hamilton and Rick Beatty. And special guest, Nick Saban. Did I say that right?
Oh, say, there I am.
Yeah.
You can hear me,
Karen.
Alright, hey, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, welcome to From the Bunker. You can find us at from-the-bunker.com. If you wish to email us, you can do so at info@from-the-bunker.com. Subscribe, go to our webpage halfway down on the left-hand side, put your email address in there, and then hit enter, then check your spam, because that's where we are. All in one breath.
All in one breath. Look at you.
I know, right?
Yay.
I'm
a smattering of applause.
Yeah, I don't deserve more than that.
Not much.
A smattering. Rick Beatty, that's my name. Her name's Jody Hamilton. And on the hotline, we have Mr. Nick. Mr. Nick Saban.
Yeah. Hi. I'm here from in New York at the moment.
You're in New York.
Big city of dreams.
I'm on the East Coast. The city of tall buildings. It's the city where Ayn Rand put together her flawed idea about humanity.
What are you working on?
I'm working with a good friend of mine, Jay, who I shot a short film for a while back. I think I actually called in last time I was working with her. But she's a Columbia film student, inscribing, very, very talented woman. I'm here shooting one of her pieces for her coursework.
Oh, good for you. Look at you.
Oh.
Giving back to the students.
Oh, it's man, I'm a giver. Let me tell you that right now.
Philanthropy?
Oh, you are? That's why I don't want it on video. We know.
Uh-oh.
I got
Uh-oh.
You a score. How long are you going to be there?
You're going to be where?
In New York.
When?
No,
how long are you going to be there?
How long am I going to be here until the 5th? I'm going to come back for CineGear, which is the big kind of technical expo of film equipment that happens in the studios once a year. It's basically the epicenter of film geeks. So I've got to come back for that.
Oh, so will you be in for the show then, or you'll be at CineGear?
No, I'm coming back. I'm actually flying in specifically to get in town to come and do your show. I'm coming directly from the airport, directly to you.
Wow.
Wow, we're going to have to double your pay.
Such is my dedication. I want you to triple my pay.
Done.
Done.
Done. Thank
More
you.
More zeros to the zero.
I'll sign that into the deal.
You got a deal?
Wow.
Yeah. I'll have my people look for your people.
Yeah. It's much like yours, Rick.
Yeah,
it's much like Rick's.
I'm sure it is.
So how was your week, Rick Beatty?
My week was fine.
Good.
That's it. In a nutshell, nothing.
You should have seen Nick in the fetal position at his birthday.
Oh,
soiree.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Happy birthday. Or as
Thank
we
you
used to
so
say,
much.
Birthday.
When was I in the fetal position? I think I blanked out that part of
the
actual
body. Well,
that
was when Rick wouldn't come by. So you were weeping uncontrollably, remember?
I was. I was on the table just rocking backwards and forwards, just covered in spittle and dampness from crying.
Yes. And as I told Jody, that wasn't because of me, I'm sure.
Hey, I arrived promptly at 4:00.
I didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm. You are actually the crazy guest that turns up if this was a movie, the clock you would see the clock across the room, then you close in on the clock, then you close on to the minute hand, and the minute hand would hit the four, dong, like that, and then there'd be a knock on the
That's
door.
That's me. You know what? I have had people come to a party a half an hour early at my house, and I'm already ready.
I think I was in the shower, wasn't I? I can't remember.
No, you were vacuuming the kitchen.
I was vacuuming the kitchen.
Yes.
Of course, yes. Domestic bliss.
Yeah. No, I'm not on the short list. That's okay. That's all right.
You're on the tall list.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I sent you an email. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Excuse me.
So here's what I'm going to do this weekend, boys.
What?
With no help from iTunes, by the way. It's been hilarious. The news, I'm going to put... This week we'll be at the old site and the old address through Friday evening because Netroots puts us on at 9:00 at night on Fridays.
Oh,
so
wow.
Saturday morning I'm going to redirect our feed from -the-bunker.com to the new IP address.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, once I upload to this week's podcast up to that version of the site,
mm-hmm.
iTunes will not have a problem. hopefully being the operative word, because iTunes is being of no use. GoDaddy wasn't helping me with how to change the RSS feed because I'm not allowed to get in there. That's the problem. And all of you subscribers, you should have gotten an email from us last weekend regarding this whole moving over thing. What I'm going to do on your behalf, unless I get an email from you saying, please just drop me, I'm going to subscribe you to the new blog, which will, of course, end up in your spam folder. So I will subscribe you to that, and that way you will start getting next week, hopefully, subscription notices about new shows coming up. So this is – it's my fault if it screws up.
Okay.
But send Nick the emails at nicklovesannculter.com.
Yeah, I'll be answering these emails whilst standing upright in a small tub full of crème anglaise.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
What an image.
Nice, nice, nice. So whilst at your party, we were talking about the shooting in Isla Vista.
Yeah,
that's a segue.
I know. Nice.
That's so deeply sad, isn't it? I mean, that's really just there's so much wrong there, I mean, for so many different reasons. You got a gentleman who whose parents are wealthy enough to keep him outside the scope of being registered as someone with mental health problems, who certainly needed to. He's seeing two therapists at the same time. Mm-hmm. This is someone that should be prevented from having. He should be prevented from having a slingshot, let alone a gun. You know, he should be monitored while shaving. I mean, this is the person that was really needed to be protected from himself and to protect others, and that was it's just sad. So many levels. It's sad for the victims. It's sad for the perpetrator across the board, and it's a reflection of an endemic problem with the state of mental health in America, and indeed a state of health in America. It's just truly tragic. The most tragic thing about it for me, though, is watching his father. Not the father of one of the victims.
Christopher Martinez's father.
A devastatingly impassioned speech to the logical. You know, it's like everything he said was completely logical.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. I have some other thoughts on Elliot Rogers, but regarding Richard Martinez and his impassioned plea,
mm-hmm.
And rightfully so. He said, and I quote, the talk about gun rights. What about Chris's right to live? Well, Joe the Plumber wrote an editorial, and I'm just going to read the first three paragraphs, four actually. I'm not talking here about the three tragic murders Roger committed by stabbing before his driving and shooting spree. I speak now only to the families of the gunshot victims in Santa Barbara. It is a tragedy. I am sorry you lost your child. I myself have a son and a daughter, and the one thing I never want to go through is what you're going through now. But, as harsh as this sounds, your dead kids don't trump my constitutional rights. What? A scumbag.
Yeah. Yeah.
His constitutional rights are very, very vaguely couched in a constitution that was written in a particular time in American history where the references is to armed militia,
right,
not to private individuals owning the kinds of weapons that the people who wrote the Constitution could only dream of. I mean, had these guys actually had assault weapons, they would have written that slightly differently.
Oh, they would have written it completely differently. We didn't have a standing army at the time. We do now.
No, there's no doubt about that. That the language of the Constitution is written in a vacuum that's very, very much around the people who wrote it at the time. To expect it to survive outside that vacuum is just asinine. And for people like Joe the Plumber, I mean, Jesus,
yeah.
This guy. When are they going to retire this guy for just being an asshole? I mean, he really is. Not a very pleasant person and not very bright, but to have the public forum to say something like that, it's disgusting.
You know, yeah, you're right, because he says stuff like that to get back on the stage.
Right.
Is he running for
he
office?
He was running. I don't know if he won his primary or not, but I know he was planning to run.
So he's using the death of these children or young adults.
Kids, yeah.
Yeah. For a platform to get back on the national stage. You're right. It's absolutely disgusting.
The thing with, and there were some other conservative reactions that were quite disturbing. People accusing Elliot Rodger of being gay, and that's why he went off and shot. No, nothing in his stupid rant or the videotape or the 142-page manifesto suggests that he's gay, let alone...
Yeah, she didn't come out and say he may have been gay. She was sort of, like, hypothesizing. Mm-hmm. Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, that may have been one of the reasons repressed sexuality... that manifest
right.
itself in in this shooting.
I mean, we should go and talk to Michelle Bachmann's husband about that. I mean, he should know. He should really be able to fill us in.
Yeah, she definitely stepped on his judge. What's her name? Oh, she wasn't a judge, but Roby Ludwig,
right?
A psychiatrist,
psychologist,
I should say, that they hire on Fox to come out and throw bombs.
Well, and what I think is interesting and what has happened very, and I hate using this word when it comes to this, but it's the simplest word, organically came out of this was the Yes All Women hashtag. And because part of the reason that he went on this rampage was because women were not doing what he wanted them to do with him. He wasn't allowed to subjugate them. He wasn't allowed to have sex with them even if they didn't want to have sex with him. He wasn't allowed... Why aren't women liking me? You know what? How many girls and guys go through that? Everybody goes through that.
Welcome to the club, son.
You know?
I think everybody goes through that. This guy's mentally ill.
Yeah.
This guy was seeing two different therapists a week. Not one therapist, which is, you know,
and they both
quite
reported
frankly
him.
Enough.
And they both
reported,
and he, but he wasn't taking the meds, so.
But this, he wasn't taking the meds. He's mentally ill. This issue is an issue of mental illness, healthcare, and how it relates
and
to
misogyny.
The
You've got to understand this, men in the room. There is a lot of misogyny in what he says that is normal in this society that men feel towards women on a daily basis. Women, the Yes All Women hashtag is about, every woman looks at every man that she doesn't know and suspects he might rape her because we don't know what you're thinking. You're probably not the guy that's going to do it, but we don't know that until we encounter you. This is a truism.
I got a great deal of sympathy for that argument. I think that argument is... Does every man exercise, or does every man present the possibility of rape to a woman, particularly as a stranger, or even as an acquaintance? Yeah, I have sympathy for that position. That position's merely logical. It's nothing else other than logical. Every man is capable of rape because he can get angry and he has a penis. Rape isn't about sex. Rape is about violence and control. The issue with this young guy is this guy. You've got a young guy who has issues with violence and control and mental health. Was he misogynistic?
Yes.
Definitely, without a doubt. But
he was
really,
going to pickup artist websites to try to figure out how to pick up women and then went to other websites saying, hate pickup artist websites because he wasn't getting what they were telling him. And one pickup artist website said six people wouldn't be dead if women would just do what he asked them to.
The difficulty here is to let the argument be diffused by pushing it in areas that have little relevance to the situation. The most important relevance to this is you're dealing with someone with severe mental health issues.
I think that's just part of it. I think his misogyny and all of that was him. Screw his mental illness. Screw that. Don't. That's a cop out to me.
Really?
His reason for this murdering was to kill dumb blonde bitches that wouldn't have sex with him. He was against sororities. He was against women, not everybody, women. He killed his roommates probably just to get him out of the way.
That's garden variety misogyny, which we all understand as being a part of society that we're every intelligent
person. It's a part of this violence towards these women.
Yeah, absolutely. But what actually takes someone and pushes them over the edge where they actually act in this way, that's not really to do with misogyny. That's to do with mental illness.
No, I mean, most women that are attacked by their men people, it's misogynistic in nature. Rape is misogynistic in nature. Domestic violence is misogynistic in nature. How women are treated in the workforce is misogynistic in nature. The fact that I have to walk with keys between my fingers to make sure that I have a weapon on me at all times is how I'm taught as a little girl to walk the streets.
And I completely understand that. But the danger is that the right could drive the issue away from the there's several layers to this issue, like an onion. And the layer on the outside is you have a person who's mentally incompetent to be able to purchase weapons. That's the outside layer of the onion. What I think the right want to do is they want to drive it to the next layer, because as soon as we start talking about misogyny, the right just turns off. I mean, as soon as if you can drive the debate towards
misogyny,
they turn
it off when you start talking about gun control.
Absolutely, but they want to drive it towards the issues where they can turn it off.
They want to turn it off at all of them. They don't want to help the mentally ill. They certainly don't want to help women, and they don't want to stop people from getting guns. They couldn't care less about this murder.
I get it, but I think from our perspective as being progressives, we should try and make sure that the debate always sticks with the salient part of the issue, encompassing the ideas of misogyny in society, but not let the right drive it towards hot button issues that they basically just write off.
Screw the right.
I mean, you know where I am about it. Other than Ann Coulter and Sarah Palin, they can all go get screwed. But you know, but the other two, I'd like to have dinner with them. And ladies, if you're there, please call up. Nick Sadler at iloveannculter.com. Please send me all your details.
Here's the thing, though, is how can I? First off, the Yes All Women hashtag grew out of something that I think is starting a conversation that men are having now with themselves, going, wait a minute, you really have to do not all. We all know, every woman knows that not all men are going to do this. Of course, that's just obvious. But like I said earlier, if I get on an elevator and a strange man gets on an elevator, I have a choice. Get off the elevator. Stay on the elevator. Is he going to hurt me? Is he not going to hurt me? That's just in my brain on a daily basis. That's because, unfortunately, a lot of men are growing up with the boys will be boys things. And women aren't good. Let's stop them from getting birth control, which is happening. Let's stop them from doing this. Let's stop them from doing that, because we want to control them. They're not worthy. They're not this, that, or the other. You have to remember, this is cultural. And part of what this kid was taught, whether by his parents or others, he believed that these women should, A, were objects, 2, should do what he said, whether they wanted to or not. He was invited to parties. He had friends. Apparently, he was kind of weird. So they didn't like him because he was weird. Because there's a rumor that he may have had Asperger's. Okay, that's a part, it's on the autism spectrum, and that can make you be very shy, withdrawn, antisocial, and people in general aren't attracted to that.
Well,
and there's nothing wrong with Asperger's, because most people, I would say 99% of people with Asperger's syndrome, are not going to go out shooting people.
No, this is absolutely true. A good friend of mine's son has Asperger's, highly functional, incredibly smart. So to say, try to push this towards Asperger's
syndrome, which he was never officially diagnosed with.
He wasn't?
No. That's unofficial. That's unofficial. His parents knew there was a problem. They called the police. Mm-hmm. And now the other question I have is, if his parents were affluent black people and they called the police on their son up in Isla Vista, who happened to be a 22-year-old black gentleman who is, hey, I think my kid's going to hurt somebody or somebody else, which is basically what his parents said. The cops go, talk to this kid. They might have taken him in if he weren't white. I can tell you that right now.
Maybe. The difficulty for us in our position is,
because he was very polite and he had a good spiel.
Right.
The difficulty we have in our position is, as I would say, the three of us are pretty progressive thinkers. What irks me is when the right drives the debate into areas, and they define the debate in areas that, to their constituents, they find it very, very easy just to reduce the debate to very simple concepts. Misogyny is a concept that the right just dispense with. It's just, you know, they basically
they're
will
saying
say,
there's a war on men, and that's why he did it.
This is precisely it. You know, it's the war on men. It's a religious freedom is the war on Christmas. A woman's right to choose is killing babies. They go for an immediately emotive response, and to a large number of people in America, they look at that emotional response and they understand the ramifications of it. With the guns issue, it is a concept to do with freedom. We want that the freedom to have the guns that we want, because guns give us a freedom to exercise force as and when we need to. A force on other people who don't agree with with them. So it's a kind of a justification of an anti-democratic process. But what the difficulty within this situation, I think, is that we will get driven into these little cul-de-sacs of arguments that the progressives on the left will not be able to argue themselves out of. Joe the Plumber is driving the argument into a cul-de-sac which is unarguable. You know, and that's, for me, that's the problem. The central problem is this, this guy lives in a misogynistic, racist society that we all have to take responsibility for, and he wasn't medicated enough for a medical condition, which is, you know, evident the fact that he was getting therapy twice a day from two different people, and he was allowed to buy guns online. All of those things together point towards a society that's kind of really quite broken. And the emotional response of the father of Christopher Martinez is how the American population should be feeling. They should be feeling in sympathy with that guy. That guy is not talking about misogyny. He's talking about the fact that our Congress and our judicial system is impotent. Not only impotent, not even motivated to solve the problem.
Impotence by choice.
Right.
Yeah. Impotent by design. Mm-hmm. They're just and so what the right's going to do is they're going to drive this debate towards things that we can't argue with them about. We drive it towards misogyny. We believe that this is a misogynist society. Absolutely no doubt in my mind this is a misogynist society. However, the right, their catchphrase is the war on men, because they don't believe misogyny exists. They believe that, you know, that that the way society is run by men is a good idea because it's in the Bible and they feel comfortable with it. That's their conservative position. But the right will drive it into areas that there's no debate on.
Well, here's Mark Furman on Fox News saying he reacted to this spree by stating on Fox's Justice with Judge Jeanine, look at the overarching lesson we have here. When you have somebody with this kind of mental disease, if you're going to stop this violence, it's only through incarceration of this person. When she asked him to clarify what he meant, he said mental health institutionalization or jail. It doesn't really make a difference. They're going with the mental health thing because they don't want to go with the gun thing or the misogyny thing. They're going for that thing because that's something that, ooh, he's crazy. There is no sane person would do this. It's a crazy person. Only crazy people do. No, sane people do this all the time. Completely sane people kill their wives. Completely sane people kill other people all the time.
Someone needs to point out to this guy that
he's an ex-cop.
Yeah, that in Nazi Germany there was a series of criteria that was used to incarcerate you. Mental illness was just one of them. Physical deformity was one of them. You know, they didn't bother with the Americans with Disability Act. They just basically used to kind of say, okay, you're deformed. You're not a functioning human being. We put you on the pile along with the Jews and the Roma and everybody else. I mean, that is really the end point of that idea that you take a person with mental illness and say, oh, we'll put them in a mental hospital or we'll put them in jail. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. That person needs to be taken into account.
I agree.
Now. We should be tackling that, but we shouldn't get bogged down in the argument of misogyny because we can't win it. They're distracting us with an argument that we can't win.
Well, I think we can win that by raising sons differently.
But that's a stealth approach. In terms of having an argument with someone, you're not gonna convince someone like our friend Cliven Bundy. We're gonna go to Cliven Bundy and say, hey Cliven, do you think America's a misogynist society? You'll say, no, of course not.
Well, here's the thing is if you don't talk about it, it won't change.
If
we didn't start talking about the racism in this society, we wouldn't be as far along as we are now. We need to go much farther. But if we didn't start talking about it, we wouldn't be where we are.
Yeah,
I agree. But we need to control that debate.
Women need to control that debate just like other minorities need to control the debate when they talk about how they feel.
Move the debate towards like violence as not the option.
Never the option. It's a last resort to save yourself or somebody else.
It's a multi-tiered approach. Misogyny, racism.
Black women, forget about it. I know part of their experience, but not all of it.
This is a damn good conversation. I think that all of our subscribers are really getting their money's worth today.
Yes, they are, because they get it for free. We don't charge a dime for this show for you listening to us on Netroots Radio.
Too bad this is a false flag.
It is a false flag. Did you hear about that?
No.
Exene Cervenka, God.
Oh, no, I read that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she thinks she's the Victoria Jackson of punk rock. You want to read what she said, Rick?
Yeah, she believes he's just another, I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have a direct quote. He's just another bad actor in a long line of hoaxes that includes the Boston Marathon and the attack on the World Trade Center. Yeah.
That was so the World Trade Center didn't happen?
According to this, no.
So the Twin Towers
didn't
fall? People didn't jump out of those buildings?
Nope.
On live television?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to announce the inauguration of the From the Bunker Tin Hat Band that will be touring around your neighborhood sometime soon, distributing free of charge.
I think she should be out front with a baton.
To crazy loony people like that, basically.
Wow. Yeah, she's no longer punk rock. I'm sorry. That's just crazy town.
She considers herself a conspiracy therapist.
That's nice. I like that.
See, blah, 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 along with Sandy Hook shootings were designed to force stricter gun control.
Yeah, she's all about the gun. Mm-hmm. She's like Alex Jones.
Yeah.
I read that. I mean, that's just, I read things like that and I quickly just skip over into the next thing. What's the point? Really, what's the point? You know the most uplifting thing I saw all week?
What?
There was a speech that I saw that, it was actually on C-SPAN that Elizabeth Warren gave.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
I read it.
Oh, my God. I just love that woman.
Can you paraphrase it for us?
She basically she came out and said, look, the thing to do with America is to fix fiscal responsibility. You get a young kid who's going to get done for having a bit of weed in his pocket. He's going to go to jail for 5 years. You are in charge of a hedge fund. You diddle hundreds of thousands of people on the basis of shorting them on the mortgage market. And treating them just like as a capital sinkhole, nick all of their savings, and you get off scot-free. That's good business practice. You know, you never go to court. Everybody settles. You know, everyone's kind of walking around in the legal community and the business community thinking, hey, we got away with that one. You know, let's go for lunch. These guys should be strung up by their petard, and I don't even know what a petard is. but I hope it's painful.
That is true. It is being hoisted by your own petard is painful.
Yeah.
That's for their sake. if you've got a chance to watch that, just search. I think it's Americans for Progress. Is that the organization that she was speaking on behalf of?
Probably. She speaks with them.
She needs to run. I think that Elizabeth Warren run for president might. It might not be successful, but it might galvanize support towards a more cohesive viewpoint from the left.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think she'd be a great nemesis to a Hillary Clinton, who's such a centrist. It would pull the Democrats to the left.
Well, at least
where they
make
need
them
to go.
Address the issues that she's raising.
Yeah, and it would pull us to the left where we need to be, which is where most of the country is. By the way,
best case scenario, she Elizabeth Warren runs. She doesn't pick up all the votes she needs. Hillary Clinton eyes her off and says, one woman in the White House, two women in the White House. Pick her up as vice president. She brings the progressives across. She's really good fiscally. She's got a lot of support.
I think that would be a great ticket. I just don't know if the country's ready for a double lady bill.
They need a good ticket. Because
I agree they need a good ticket. But there's Bernie Sanders. There's other men that Sherrod Brown, Sheldon Whitehouse. There are a lot of men that could go on that ticket.
Or at least a really high-level cabinet.
Yeah, she could give her a really high-level cabinet appointment, which would be fantastic. But I don't think two ladies on a ticket, we're not ready for that, unfortunately, as a full country. A lot of us are. I'm totally ready for it. And most of the hard left would be ready for, especially Elizabeth Warren. But I don't see the center independents and the center Democrats or the center what used to be Republicans voting that way. I just don't see it.
Go with another Southern white male to balance out the ticket.
Yeah,
that's the obvious choice, isn't it? But I don't want. I just like hate to see Hillary become president. I just don't want two warring families. You know, the Bushes and the Clintons. Do we really want that? I mean, it's just so ill. Just too ill for words.
That's because we're old enough to remember the last time the Clintons and the Bushes fought each other. There were a bunch of kids that were born after that that don't know. I mean, we've got Bush-Clinton fever. Weariness, whatever it is. But a lot of people don't. I think Hillary would make a great president. I really do. I think she was a great Secretary of State. And we don't really have anybody else to run that could win.
Maybe.
We really don't. Elizabeth Warren is a great idea, but she couldn't win.
Maybe she went out there and had the chance to galvanize support. She's her approach, even to people in business that I've spoken to, they look at her and they say, okay, look, it's a bitter pill to swallow, but a reinvention of Glass-Steagall separate high street banks from investment banking is still a really valid idea, and I think it needs to be rewritten in the light of digital banking practices in a way which really protects the country.
I agree completely.
Do you know who sponsors that bill?
Which bill?
The reinstatement of Glass-Steagall, which was written for two people named Glass and Steagall.
Elizabeth Warren's gone to Glass-Steagall. She said, okay, let's not try and stick Glass-Steagall back in. Let's have a completely rewritten law that's written around the idea of making sure that depositors cannot lose their money and thereby protecting the country. Do you know who sponsors it?
I would imagine Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders.
No, John McCain.
Good for him. Mm. Exactly. He's old enough.
Yeah.
See, the thing is about Elizabeth Warren is if you put her in the right direction and you give her the sensible stick, she might actually pull Republicans.
I think she can – reasonable Republicans, not the Tea Party. She can't pull them.
But that's enough because the reasonable Republicans with John – and the John McCain did extremely well in that last election. He did – he had a good profile. I think that you put Elizabeth Warren, you align him with John McCain and say, look, John – do you really want to make a difference? Do you want a legacy? This is the woman you stand behind.
Since McCain-Feingold went with the wind.
Right.
You know, I think there's legs in that. I think that there must be political analysts.
It'll depend on what happens in the Senate this year.
Yeah.
It'll depend on 2014 Senate because, trust me, if the Democrats do not retain the Senate and don't get the House, and likelihood of getting the House is lower than retaining the Senate, if that doesn't happen, forget about it. Nothing is going to happen until there's a new president and a new Senate and a new House.
At this point, do you think McCain would align himself with a Democrat, a progressive Democrat?
I think it's extremely possible that McCain could find his way through to looking at a candidate that was not progressive enough, kind of in the middle, basically progressive on fiscal policy. He could swallow a whole lot of other things. For example, if Elizabeth Warren was to run as a presidential ticket, I would expect that someone like McCain would be a great running partner because he could bring the Republicans along and basically
that would never happen. It would never happen. I can tell you right now that's not happening. He didn't put Lieberman on the ticket because they thought that was a bad idea. Had he put Lieberman on the ticket, we might have had a President McCain. I can tell you that right now.
Possible.
One of the only major reasons he did not get elected president was because of his pick of Sarah Palin. Had he picked Lieberman, he would have gotten a lot of Democrats to vote for him and might have won it.
Maybe he'll be on the Bloomberg ticket.
I made this little sketch of Sarah Palin with a crown on. Kind of she's sitting on a crocheted puffet in a bikini holding a Kalashnikov with a crown on. I've got this picture at home. I love it. That's the way I want to see the country run.
What's a puffet?
It's the thing you put your feet on. Oh. What do you call this? Like an ottoman. But
like an ottoman.
Oh.
Not an ottoman. They're from the 70s. Remember those round things that were kind of...
It's an ottoman.
Ottoman. It's like a footstool.
It's a footstool.
Or your doll.
Yeah.
You know what the difference between an ottoman and a footstool is?
An empire?
$300.
Oh. True.
Thank you, Sean Barton, for that. Mm. He wrote that years ago. So there was some sad news besides the people being murdered in Isla Vista, and our condolences, of course, go out to all the families involved.
You mean Brad Pitt being punched?
He put a restraining order on that guy.
Well, he should.
This guy does this all the time.
Yeah.
He should be arrested.
Will Smith smacked him.
Yeah. He's lucky he's lucky good people with guns weren't there.
Yeah, right.
Dr. Maya Angelou died yesterday morning. And a very good friend of mine, Rolanda Watts, referred to Dr. Angelou as Auntie Maya. And so I know that Ro is upset, naturally. Maya had been sick for a little while, so she went as painlessly as possible, according to her family. But what I've found interesting on Facebook these past couple of days is the outpouring, first, of love towards this woman.
Yeah.
And even Eric Erickson, of all people, over at Red State, poured his love to her, which is interesting. She actually saw a move, the first movie that I ever produced called Defying the Stars, and Ro was in that. She played Dorothy Dandridge for us. And it's an artsy movie because, of course, everybody's first movie is very artsy. And when Rolanda told Carrie and me that she saw the film, she said, yeah, Auntie Maya watched the movie and loved it. And I'm like, Auntie Maya Angelou? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, she not only saw it but liked my movie? And she's like, yes, she did. And I was like so touched that she watched the whole 40 minutes of it, and it was really artsy and circuitous. It was nonlinear. And she, I was like, really? You're not just telling this? She goes, I wouldn't have called to just laugh. So I thought that was pretty cool. And there's a quote that's been going around that most people are using the last part of what she said, but I'd like to read all of it. It's kind of long because I think the whole thing is has more meat to it than just the last couple of sentences. So here I go. Wish me luck on this. I've learned that no matter what happens or how bad it seems today, life does go on, and it will be better tomorrow. I've learned that you can tell a lot about a person by the way he or she handles these little these three things, a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you'll miss them when they're gone from your life. I've learned that making a living is not the same as making a life. I've learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. I've learned that you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw something back. I've learned that whatever I decide something with an whenever, excuse me. I've learned that whenever I decide something with an open heart, I usually make the right decision. I've learned that even when I have pains, I don't have to be one. I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love a warm hug or just a friendly pat on the back. I've learned that I still have a lot to learn. I've learned that people will forget what you've said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel.
Oh,
isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful advice?
Yeah. That's great advice.
Yeah. Isn't it? And from what I understand,
when was that?
She said it years ago.
Okay.
The other thing I learned, I believe it was today, she was the first black female trolley car driver.
Oh, really?
In San Francisco.
I had no idea.
Yeah, somebody said that on Stephanie's show this morning. I'm like, well, that's a random bit of fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like
she was
a summer
also a,
job?
She was also a lifelong member of the NRA. Do you know that?
Yes. And they love to sex as
oh,
if
really?
As if she's
no
a gun
idea.
Nut. She's not. She's, there are plenty of peaceful people that are members of the NRA. Michael Moore comes to mind. I have friends that are members of the NRA. The NRA no longer represents its members. It represents
right.
gun manufacturers, and that's the problem with the NRA touting that Maya Angelou was a gun owner. Please.
Right. Well, was she still active? Or because a lot of those people have left.
I think I made that bit up. I just wanted to make
no,
that.
No, she was a gun owner.
Our Republican friends feel comfortable.
No, the NRA definitely was talking about her being a gun owner.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who own guns.
Yeah, a lot of people own guns. It doesn't necessarily mean that they support what the NRA now supports.
Especially
the NRA
now,
used to support gun legislation, used to support people. The thing with what's messed up about the NRA is, A, yes, they forget about the militia part of the Second Amendment conveniently, and two, we're not allowed to have IEDs. We're not allowed to have rocket-propelled launchers. We're not allowed to have nuclear warheads. We're not allowed to have tanks. We're not allowed to have a lot of armaments. So why do we think we should have semi-automatic weapons available to us? 30-round clips.
There has to be a limit.
There's a solution here. Okay, we're going to start an organization in competition with the NRA called MAGIC, the Maya Angelou Guns Inclusiveness Club, where you can own a gun, but you promise not to buy any bullets.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, nobody says you can have bullets. You can have a gun, but the bullets cost you a fortune. So
yeah,
it's $1,000. Yeah, the Chris Rock thing. It's $1,000 a bullet.
Chris Rock there.
You're going to think twice about shooting that bullet if it's going to cost you $1,000 a bullet.
I'd cap your ass, but I just can't afford it.
I can't afford it.
Oh, like we were talking that one time about are you bullet worthy?
Right. It's like, are you sponge worthy?
Are you sponge worthy?
Yeah. Are
I
you
know
bullet-worthy?
I hate you, and I'm
really
pretty sure I want
you
dead, but are you bullet worthy?
I don't know.
Can I just...
Well, with the football player that shot up some people in a nightclub.
Hernandez.
He was just arraigned the other day.
Yeah.
And he shot them because they spilled a drink on him, and he went back hours later. They didn't even know they had wronged him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that gets back to, like, retraining as violence as the first option. You know, getting back to, what's his name, Elliot Rodgers, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, it's never should be the first option.
Absolutely.
You know, so, and also,
and like, also, if it's a murder-suicide, people, can we do suicide first?
But also,
this is why these guys just smoke weed. They'd be on their way home. Yeah. They get the gun. They got it in and out.
Forget about it.
They forget about it altogether. They get the munchies so bad they forget about what's going on.
But I think, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go on. Sorry.
No. Also, I think it speaks to entitlement.
Yes, that kid was very entitled.
Very entitled. You know. Aaron Hernandez, so entitled that he has to kill somebody because they knock over his drink. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Well, there's somebody the other day I was reading, I want to say it's a football player. He got popped for domestic violence, and his wife actually said, I'm sorry for my part in this.
Well, she put her face in the way?
Yeah. Mm. I'm sorry for my part in this? No, hitting is never the answer. Yeah. Sorry. Not an offensive hit. If you're hitting back because somebody's hitting you, that's different. But
it kind of reminds me of Cheney's lawyer who apologized
for being shot in the face.
For being shot in the face, yeah.
I mean, and that's the whole other, that's a sense of entitlement, and that's a sense of subjugation.
Yeah.
Did Dick Cheney shoot someone in the face?
Yes, you don't remember?
Well, he shot him in the face.
Yeah, yeah. They were hunting. They were skeet shooting or
with a gun.
Something.
He shot him in the
quail
face.
Quail hunting?
They're quail hunting. Yeah, he got him with buckshot.
I just love saying it. I can't help it. He shot someone in the face.
And the guy apologized to Dick Cheney for his face being in the way.
Yes. And then Cheney went home and denied police access until the next day, presumably,
to clean up.
To sober up.
Yeah.
It's a bit like if Darth Vader was choking it to death and he stubbed his toe, that was my fault. Him stubbing his toe, that was my fault.
Absolutely.
He was choking. But that, I deserved it, really.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Yeah.
So there's some interesting good news. LeVar Burton. Have you heard about this?
Oh, he's bringing back Reading Rainbow?
And he's already raised in 2 days $2 million.
Wow. What, on Kickstarter? Or
yeah,
Indiegogo
something.
Or something.
Indiegogo or Kickstarter. Hold on, let me get to the story. He exceeded his goal. He reached his $11 million goal in 11 hours. It was $1 million goal in 11 hours. So now keep donating, people, because every bit of money, the more money that gets in, more schools can do this.
Hold on one second. Nick, you still there?
I am. Did he hit a wrong button?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I felt I was abandoned.
Aww, oh, sorry. Oh.
All right.
You don't have a gun, do you?
I don't know.
Okay,
I have some Twizzlers.
Of course you do. You're back east.
Yeah.
Out here, it's red vines.
Yeah.
No, he's reached 2 million already, I think, by today. So basically every dime, every extra dime over his goal is going to allow more schools to have the Reading Rainbow program.
Oh, good. Good for
so
him.
That's just, he cried thanking everybody. In 11 hours, he made $1 million. That's amazing.
That's wow. Amazing.
That's go
LeVar.
So this is an indication of how people want constructive and interesting change in the right direction. You need someone to galvanize this. We need Elizabeth Warren. That's what I really really need. Elizabeth Warren.
I think
Elizabeth
Warren and Alan Grayson on a ticket.
Oh my goodness, dream ticket. Alan Grayson, basically, he'd be like your hitman.
Totally.
You'd just send Alan Grayson out with cue cards. The Republicans want you to die quickly.
He's not,
well, not
afraid,
exactly,
man.
Alan.
He is not. But when I met him, he was very kind of very quiet and unassuming.
Well, I mean, you can be quiet, unassuming, and be forceful.
Absolutely.
And committed to your cause.
He's very tall.
He understands,
Cancel.
He understands publicity. He understands that if you want to get a point across, you got to put into a concept that people can really get into. And then it can establish some debate. I mean, he does. I really like the way he goes about things. I'm a big fan of Alan Grayson.
In fact, okay, how about Hillary Clinton, Alan Grayson ticket?
No,
that wouldn't win. You know why? He's too far. He's too hardcore. He makes Elizabeth Warren look centrist.
Okay, so this would be my compromise. Hillary for president, Grayson for vice president, and Warren in front in charge of the Fed.
Well, okay. I would have her in charge of the Fed in New York.
Yeah,
the woman
in
charge
heartbeat.
Of the Fed right now was the only one that predicted everything going kablooey before. So at least she knows what she's doing.
Oh, really?
The current head of the Fed, yeah.
What, Jim Cramer?
She had predicted everything in 2007 was going to go the way it did, and nobody listened to her.
No.
So it's good that she's running the Fed right now because she kind of understands things. She wants to change things, mind you, but she doesn't have that much control. She's not Congress. She can control very little. She believes that taxes should be raised. She believes in certain things for economic reasons that she cannot do. She can control interest rates, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But she predicted all of this, and that's why her confirmation was interesting, since she was the smartest one nominated. Mm-hmm. Who's talking on my phone?
Oh, that's...
Oh, my car's going to be done tonight.
I think it's Alan Grayson. Is it Alan?
No, my car's also already done. I don't
oh,
know
really?
How late they're open, but maybe
that's
when we're
fantastic
done.
Fantastic news.
I know. I can drive my car properly and spend
awesome.
Lots of money doing it.
You mean BP?
Talking about cars, can we just quickly talk about GM just for a moment?
Sure.
I mean, what's going on there? Please.
Recalling and everything?
I mean, we have a situation whereby there were people at GM who were getting the legal department of GM to go after people, after victims of car accidents who had identified that there was faulty components, and they were going after them saying, look, if you try and sue us, we're going to basically keep you in court for years and we're going to take everything of yours. We're going to ruin you. And there's no recourse for these people. These people, it's GM is just a beyond disgusting company. They should basically take the entire CEO base of that company for the last 20 years, arrest the lot, take away all their possessions, put them in a fund, and then fund all of the, and then basically give it away to all these people who have died or had mishaps because they've been driving these stupid cars.
Well, the companies like GM and other companies that design products that can potentially kill you, not guns because they can kill you, that's their purpose is, but like cars, what else could hurt you? A lawnmower.
Harsh words.
These guys knew 13 years ago that there was a component in their car, which is ignition switch component, that would involve them having mass recalls. And they did the math, and they figured out that
it's cheaper
did the recalls,
to pay off families than to change the product. Absolutely, it's called cost of doing business.
Yeah, and it basically they did the math. They went after some people and then they paid off other people. Where the cases were depends on which side of the line they fell. Those people should be in jail.
That's PG&E the boron situation with borax and putting it in people getting cancer. Well, it's cheaper for us to pay these families than it is to clean up our messes. I mean, that's the BP oil spill. That's tons of things. Well, how much will it cost to do this? How much will it cost to do that? Well, it's cheaper to pay people out than to actually do the right thing.
That's a definition of psychopathic behavior. And
corporations aren't people.
Look at Big Pharma.
No. And in the interest of tying this up in a nice big bow, our friend Mr. Elliot, who went on his rampage and killed all these people, you know, he had mental health problems. Absolutely, I look at some of these people involved in the car industry and the kinds of things they do. They display psychopathic tendencies, and that is a mental health issue, as far as I'm concerned. These people should be put in mental health hospitals.
Here's the thing that Tom Hartman said so brilliantly years ago: regulations make people do the right thing because they have to, not because they want to. Because the fiduciary responsibility of a corporation is to make money for its shareholders. That's it. It's psychopathic, potentially, and sociopathic, potentially, but that's all it's... So if shareholders start losing money because you decide, I'm going to do the right thing, they want to make money. They start pulling their money out of your company could die. If the government comes in and says, wait a second, you need to do that GM, you need to do that BP, you need to do that PG&E, then you get to do the right thing, and your shareholders can't bitch because you're regulated to do it.
Yeah. I mean, this whole mythology of unbridled capitalism being the way forward, this is complete bullshit. I mean, the idea that we can have a society whereby, is that going to get edited out?
Have it marked.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry.
I didn't even notice.
Rick stops listening to your potty mouth early on.
Let me rephrase that. It's complete baloney. I mean, the whole idea that that you have to have a psychopathic tendency in business, that you have to behave in this way, is part of why capitalism is broken as a system. Unbridled capitalism that's not meted by good regulation it just leads to monopoly, and it leads in a bad direction. Basically, what it leads to is totalitarianism in
Absolutely.
The worst possible way. Totalitarianism by people who weren't even elected in place in the first place. Elected in the first place. These are people who have just got into power because you bought their stuff.
Right.
And that's not good enough. You know,
there are some people that like the owner of Costco and others that are responsible corporate stewards. But in general, corporations are there to make money, and that's it. It's not their fault. It's just how they're set up.
Well, they tie it into survival of the fittest.
Right,
you know?
Right, right. And that's why monopolies are bad. That's why the Comcast-Time Warner merger should not happen. That's
why. Oh, that was so bad.
Well, it hasn't officially happened yet. They're still in hearings.
Oh, really?
And it shouldn't.
It shouldn't. I agree.
It's a really bad idea.
Isn't the head of Comcast a former FCC official?
Or was.
Yeah.
Or no, somebody in the FCC was a cable person.
Came from Comcast?
Yeah, somewhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's one or the other. They go back and forth.
Yeah, well, of course.
And that's we went from Ma Bell to breaking up a bunch of phone companies, and then we're putting everything back together again because of deregulation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing with broadcasting. That's why you have Clear Channel putting Rush Limbaugh on 500 stations that 350 don't pay for him, you know? And, and because they get him for free, that's all the advertising is money, you know? And so with the ratings here in Los Angeles for Mr. Limbaugh, he's number 37.
Yeah.
In the what was Stephanie, 30, number 11?
Yeah, I think it was 37 to 39. Wow, I'm just looking, just tangent. the Chinese Bernie Madoff from, I guess it was from last year, was secretly executed for financial crimes.
Really?
Yeah.
We don't
by
do that
lethal
here.
Injection.
Of course.
So, like,
well, that's where we can get our drugs.
Say what you will about China, but like they ain't messing around.
Well, that's
I read about this. Do you know what they injected him with?
What?
They injected him with the ink you make $1,000 bills out of.
Ooh,
that's how
really?
They killed him.
That's yeah, nasty.
No, I made that up.
Oh, okay, jeez.
It's poetic justice, though.
That's bad. That's nasty.
Bad. But I've got a very creatively deviant bent when it comes to things like that.
Well, they're bringing back the electric chair.
I've read about that.
Oklahoma
Smoky.
Or Tennessee?
I think Tennessee, I don't think they're bringing it back, but the governor is trying to bring it back.
Okay, let's be barbarians. If we're going to do it, let's
just
do it.
Did you see the thing on The Onion? The machine that like rips people's heads off? Did you see that? It was like terrible. It's like humane, where this machine just rips
well, I mean,
somebody.
A guillotine, if you do it right, you're not feeling anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And they were interviewing all the people, and they're all covered in blood.
I think, wasn't it made by a poultry company that got something specialized?
Probably.
Yeah, put it in a wood chipper.
Yeah.
Let's just do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if we're going to be barbaric and kill people, let's do it. Barbarically, let's do the electric chair. Let's do hangings again. Let's do guillotines again.
Even better, let's bore them to death.
Oh, slideshows of your vacation.
Pry their eyes open like Clockwork Orange.
Totally, just slideshows. Just slideshows of
Stop!
Other people's vacations.
Stop.
Oh, I like that. That's my idea of hell. That is my
a
idea.
Long
of
draw now.
Oh there's yes, a, and there's a picture again of a sunflower.
Is that Aunt Sally?
Or? I don't think. No. Where is Aunt Sally these days?
How is she? She's,
I haven't
she's
seen
dead.
Her. She's oh. When did that happen?
Oh, back in 52, I want to say.
Oh wow.
Who's Aunt Sally? Fill me in. I've missed a cultural reference here quite clearly.
It's not. We're riffing.
We're riffing.
And see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah! I often find myself in the dark with certain American references. I'm thinking, what the hell are they talking about?
No, we were just riffing. It's what we do.
Riffing.
We were riffing. We're almost through, boys. We got only 7.5 minutes left.
Wow.
I just want to talk about them, Miss Danique.
Miss Danique, I heard sirens in the background. Are they coming to get you? I know you're in a tall building.
I'm in a tall building, not very unlike the building that you would find in the Fountainhead, actually. That great Ayn Rand book.
Yeah.
Talk about boring. Make people read Ayn Rand.
Then make them read Ulysses.
Ulysses is way more interesting.
Do an Ayn Rand reading once a month. Don't you think? Which is like read a few passages. You can read it, Jody, and Rick and I will just giggle in the background.
Yes, because I'm so Randian.
Are you following any of this Brazilian uprising?
No.
No. Tell us about that.
Well, due to the amount of money that's being spent on the World Cup, something like $13 billion is being spent on the World Cup in Brazil.
Wow.
And I want to say more than a third of their population is in dire poverty.
Right.
I mean, poverty we don't
even think. It's like in India poverty kind
yeah.
of, or New Delhi
yeah.
and places.
So there's been a movement on the streets. Mm-hmm. but street artists, graffiti artists, people saying, just trying to bring awareness to the fact right. that like this country is squandering.
Right.
I mean, yes, it brings in revenue. Yes, it brings tourism, blah, blah, blah. You know, but you're spending $13 billion when a third of your country can't afford a meal.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's insane.
These kinds of projects are basically their ways of shifting money from the public coffers into private sector.
Absolutely.
And they get occupied by lobbyists who lobby for certain companies to get certain kinds of contracts to make this work. So this, you
and
know,
Putin.
As far as I'm concerned, the Olympics, which is just find an island somewhere, build the event, build the facilities once, let's all pay for it.
Back to
and
Greece.
It has some cruise liners that hang around the outside. And then we just basically go and hang out in cruise liners and watch the Olympics.
Oh, I'm
this
a
little,
boat person. I can yeah. do that.
Little island. Just get it done with. There's one thing I want to talk about very quickly before we leave is the European elections that just happened in the last
shifted
week or so.
Shifted to the left, didn't they?
No, they shifted dramatically to the right in the worst possible way.
I thought that they lost
the
seats. The right
front
lost seats.
In England, an outfit called UKIP, the UK Independent Party, and in France, essentially.
I thought the EU's elections shifted more to the left.
They did, but within France and England, Jean-Marie Le Pen's essentially National Front Nazi Party is now run by Marianne Le Pen, and then in UKIP, they basically was a resounding vote from UK and France to say, look, we're moving to the right, substantially to the right, on issues with regards to gay marriage, immigration, religion, across the board.
What about
really,
fiscally?
Really worrying. Fiscally to the right as well, very protectionist, not good across Europe.
Yeah, because I only read about the EU elections, which shifted to the left.
Well, some of it went to the left, but what concerns me more importantly is what's happening in the UK and in France, because they're the countries I basically went being British, as you might have noticed.
You are?
Yes, I am.
I thought you from the south.
I'm not from the south. No. So I'm hearing this quite a lot in Facebook postings from people, as friends of mine who are fairly horrified by these developments.
Except
also,
for one.
The other part of my nationality, of course, is Australian. You'll hear that when I get really angry.
So you are from the south.
I sound like, yeah, well, kind of the deep south. Australia is also heading kind of uncomfortably to the right as well, with Mr. Tony Abbott, who, according to the Washington Post, is the most unpopular political leader of the first world everywhere. His approval ratings are under 30%. Other world leaders don't really want to negotiate with him because he's such a tool. It's not looking good. I'm looking at the political landscape of the two countries, or the three countries that I'm involved in, being America, England, and Australia, and it's looking pretty bleak across the board.
Time to move to the Netherlands.
It's
a little chilly, but they have a great lifestyle. Denmark.
Do you like pickled fish? We should go there.
Denmark apparently is lovely.
Yeah, it's hard to get in there from what I hear.
So they don't want us. like the Canadians, they don't want us either. They're doing quite well as well.
They like that really salty licorice as well. Have you tried that?
Oh, I like that.
Well, it's good, but it's just like it's crazy.
Danish licorice?
Danish licorice. Yeah. Danish and Swedish licorice is like basically like little slabs of black salt.
Jesus.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Yeah. So we're playing our playoff music, not our playoff music, but our time to stop talking music.
Okay.
So again, people that listen to the show, not on the website, if you subscribe to iTunes, I'm hoping that you'll still be able to get it next week. We will know more next week. iTunes is being not that helpful. Naturally.
Oh, by the way, I've got one thing to say before the sign off music, that Edward Snowden's going to call in and talk to us next week.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Is Brian Williams coming to interview him too?
It's Brian Williams and Edward Snowden, but if you don't tune in, you'll never know.
From one bunker to another. He's actually going to be in the bunker, though. Aren't we getting him into the country?
I don't know. I think we should take the bunker to him.
It's under negotiations. I think Keith Morrison will be here instead of Brian Williams. Because he's got a better lilt to his voice.
Yeah.
He's a better narrator.
Well, what's in? Carrie said, hey, you want to come back?
Come on back.
We'll send a plane for you tomorrow. But there
he was... said, man up and come back.
Yeah.
He said, man up, bitch.
Yeah, he kind of threw down. He definitely threw down to that. But, okay, now we have to go. So, kids, I'm going to try. Wish me luck.
Good luck.
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys next week in the flesh.
All right, man.
All right. Talk at you later.
Thank you for listening to From the Bunker.
Ow, 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 ow. Oh, I want to thank my friend Pete for bringing the Brazil story to my attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete.
Thanks.
See y'all next week.
Are you actually going to see them? Do you know something I don't know? The people? You going to see them?
Oh, yeah. When I close my eyes.
Oh, okay.
At night.
Okay.
Close my eyes.